technically knowledgeable and technically competent, and who are very interested in high specifications because they are risking their lives based on the these devices. They're the ones who go up into the storms, into the snow, where to find people who are lost, and literally they're risking their lives every time they go up there. There are people who are flying helicopters in mountains in stormy conditions trying to find people who are lost. That's very dangerous work, and as you know, helicopters have crashed on Mount Hood doing this kind of work before. So those people have a very high burden of self-imposed to ensure that those standards are going to, and those specifications are going to be very strict. So I don't see any possibility that, in reality, that that would ever happen.
But same burden.
Yeah, Mr. Corey, I guess the point I'm asking here is if there is some specifications drawn on the device, then I would assume that that means that that device is not yet, but apparently there's a device that's been selected. The specifications of that device then are something that is bought into and not necessarily something that's going to be, here are specifications, now you manufacture that device according to specifications.
No,
so essentially the specifications are going to be drawn are going to be specifications that were already there by the manufacturer in the first place. Is that correct?
Representative Burton, that's not entirely correct, no. There has been a proposal sent out from our group to a number of different manufacturers asking them to tell us what's the best they can offer. We have some specifications from this one manufacturer and from several other manufacturers as well. But those specifications that we're referring to here in this bill will have to do with performance, and we will be testing those devices based on our needs, not based on what manufactured product is available. And so that if we needed an instrument, for example, that could work at 12,000 feet under 40 degrees below zero temperature and no one made one, we wouldn't buy one.
Hey, so it's your intent on the record, though, in this legislation itself, and I want you to look very carefully at the effect of Representative Miller's amendment, that neither the state of Oregon or the State Department of Police nor anyone who was on any advisory capacity on a committee which would draw up the specification of this would be liable in case there was a failure of one of these devices for any reason whatsoever.
Representative Burton, my understanding of Representative Miller's amendment would not change the liability of anyone except those people specifically mentioned. That would be manufacturers, distributors, and suppliers. It would make those people less liable. It would make them not liable for intentional acts, nor it would make them not liable for gross negligent acts. As to the liability of other people, I don't think Representative Miller's motion would have any effect whatsoever, whether it were adopted or not.
Okay, further questions? Okay, further discussion on Representative Miller's motion? Representative Hanlon.
It just seems to me the effect of deletion would place less diligence on a manufacturer to supply safe devices to this marketplace. And I think somewhere there is a balance. And if the issue is to save lives, that's a joint effort that includes the original manufacturer of such an item and those who are making a profit from such manufacture. And for those reasons, I'd oppose the amendment, Representative Miller's motion.
Okay, further discussion? Okay, the chair is concerned that the language in the bill, the Dash 9 amendments as printed, represents a compromise which is now acceptable to the Senate. And if we were to adopt Representative Miller's motion, there would be great concern of non-concurrence and loss of the entire bill. For that reason, the chair will be voting no. Clerk will call the roll on Representative Miller's motion.
Bellman?
No.
Bellamy?
Aye.
Dunn?
Aye.
Burton?
No.
No.
Hanlon?
No.
Miller?
Aye.
Phillips?
Aye.
Springer?
Votes no. Motion fails.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Bellamy.
I would like to try a
another motion in the same area.
Well, Representative Bellamy, before you do so, I received a notice that both caucuses are meeting now before floor session, and Representative Campbell has requested that all the Republicans right away so there won't have to be a call. So it would appear that we're going to have to return to this sometime later in the day.
My motion will be quite simple here, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Well, it's, if you folks want to stay, that's up to you. I'll just share that with you. Representative Bellamy.
I would move to amend Section 3, and only Section 3 on page 2, on line 14, and I would ask staff to follow to make sure I have the correct wording, please. On line 14, after from, delete the rest of the line and delete line 15 and delete actual knowledge on line 16, or excuse me, actual knowledge that it fails. Replace it with failure. And let me read the word. It says, if you get up here, that based on a claim that such a device failed to function successfully unless the person shows that the failure resulted from failure to meet the specifications referred to in Section 5 of this Act. I'm basically taking out the willful and wanton misconduct of the defendants for distributing and supplying such a device having actual knowledge that it fails. And I'm simply saying that the only sentence would be in there is if somebody produced a device that did not fail or did not meet the specifications that were drawn up by the state police.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Bond.
Just clarification from Representative Bellamy. Though it would be that there is a failure. Failure was a result of not meeting the specifications.
Okay. Representative Bellamy has so moved. Do you want to restate that again, Representative Bellamy?
Yes, I move to amend Section 3. Does it sound right to you, staff? The wording? Did you catch that?
What's your...
My amendment is, I believe, is to amend Section 3 on line 14, starting with the word willful, and remove the rest of that line, remove the line 15, and remove actual knowledge that it fails on line 16, and replace it with failure.
Okay, Representative Bellamy has so moved the deletion of language and addition of additional language in Section 3. Is there further discussion?
Could you read it now?
Counsel, can you try to state it as you understand Representative Bellamy's motion, and we'll ask you to correct that, Representative Bellamy?
Okay, do you want me to read the whole section? No person may maintain an action against a manufacturer, distributor, or supplier of an electronic signaling device for any loss or damage incurred during wilderness travel or mountain climbing based on a claim that such a device failed to function successfully unless the person shows that the failure resulted from failure to meet the specifications referred to in Section 5 of this Act.
That's the question.
Is there a question to me?
It will be.
If I could.
Representative Burden.
I don't know what your intent exactly is, Representative Bellamy, but it would appear to me that the language the way it's constructed now would make it easier to get a lawsuit.
Mr. Chair, my intent is simply saying that that before a manufacturer sells or produces an item for sale, that it should meet the qualifications set forth by the state police. Otherwise, I would agree with Representative Hanlon. Why are we having the state police set qualifications? I may be reading it wrong. I don't know.
Well, Representative Bond.
Isn't basically that standard, the one Representative Bellamy suggests, the type of standard we built into Senate Bill 323 in the products liability section?
I don't know that I'm qualified to speak on behalf of 323.
Let me just say that, Mr. Chairman, it seems to me that the amendment is a good change because it parallels the kind of action we took in Senate Bill 323 in saying that a person who is going to be liable on products liability is liable based on the standards that have been set up.
Further discussion? If not, the clerk will call the roll on Rep. St. Bellamy's motion.
Bellamy?
Aye.
Bellamy?
Aye.
Bunn?
Aye.
Burton?
No.
Dix?
No.
Hanlon?
No.
Miller?
Aye.
Phillips?
Aye.
Springer?
No. Motion's adopted.
Mr. Chairman?
Rep. St. Miller?
Try to go back to the Section 3 language again now, but I will try one more time on removing Section 6 on page 3, the first three lines. I just don't think it makes any sense. In fact, I think it makes it's not something that is certainly wanted by the manufacturers who might benefit a number of climbers.
Okay, we'll let you talk to Mr. Hader.
That's fine. Be glad to.
Okay, Rep. St. Miller has moved deletion of Section 6. Further discussion?
Well, I've got a question, Mr. Chair. To you, you mentioned that the bill represents a compromise, and I wasn't a part.
Not anymore.
I withdraw the question then.
Was that the answer?
Well, no. I just wanted to know who came up with the Section 6 in the first place so I know what we're acting upon.
It's my understanding that it represents a consensus of those who hope to pass the bill. In part to satisfy the Senate, in part to satisfy those folks who had hoped to support the bill. Further discussion on Representative Miller's motion to delete Section 6? Not, the clerk will call the roll.
Bellman?
No.
Bellamy?
Aye.
Bunn?
Aye.
Burton?
No.
Dix?
No.
Hanlon?
No.
Miller?
Aye.
Phillips?
Aye.
Springer?
No. This motion fails.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Bellamy.
I would move Senate Bill 915A as amended to the floor do pass.
Okay, Representative Bellamy moves 915A-9 as further amended to the floor with a do pass recommendation. Is there further discussion? If not, the clerk will call the roll.
You guys on anything?
Aye. Bellamy?
Aye. Aye.
Burton?
Aye.
Dix?
Aye.
Hanlon?
No.
Miller?
No.
Phillips?
Aye.
Springer?
Votes no. Motion's adopted. Are there any volunteers? Rep. St. Bellamy?
Mr. Chairman?
Rep. St. Miller?
Serve notice of a possible minority report. Recognizing the requirements, it might be difficult to get a second signer.
Okay, Representative Miller serves notice of a possible minority report.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Hanlon.
I do the same.
Representative Hanlon also serves notice of possible minority report, and the chair would serve the same notice of a possible minority report. Okay, are members in the mood they want to take a recess or to go to caucuses, or do you want to finish with the agenda? Take a recess? Okay. Take a recess for purposes of the caucus of the respective majority and minority parties, and we'll return as soon as the floor session permits.
That one was easy.
Turn to order, please. Let's take up with Senate Bill 566. I believe we do have copies of the Dash 6 amendments at this time. Council, could you sort of review those amendments with us, please?
Yes,
Mr. Chairman, I, figuring that knowing these amendments were coming, I included them in the analysis of the bill. I believe if you look at the analysis, 4, 5, and 6 cover what I think, but I think the fine I wrote would be the most important of the provisions provided in the amendments. Going to the amendments, Brad Swank and I, during the meeting and during the break, went through 566-6 and corrected some typographical errors in it. You will see them there, done in the handwriting version. Basically, the amendments require the county clerk to refuse to issue a writ of garnishment if the county clerk is unable to verify the underlying obligation. Require the debtor to file a claim of exemption with just the county clerk as opposed to filing it with the garnishee, the debtor, and the sheriff. Not requiring, as we heard testimony before, not requiring the banks as a garnishee to hold property in 10 days, but to deliver to the creditor unless the creditor has filed an exemption. That case ceases. Property will be sent to the county clerk. I had some discussion with Brad Swank what they would do if they garnish cows and things like that, but I believe that would be the responsibility of the sheriff to take care of the cows, so at the expense of the creditor seeking to garnish the milk. If there's anything I've left out, I'm sure Mr. Swank will be able to fill in the holes.
Representative Phillips?
Chair, I'd move Senate Bill 566-A-6 to the floor with your pass recommendation.
Okay, Representative Phillips moves Senate Bill 566A engrossed as amended with the dash 6 amendments to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there further discussion? If not, the clerk will call the roll, please.
Bellman?
Aye.
Bellamy?
Aye.
Burton?
Aye.
Dix?
Aye.
Miller?
No.
Phillips?
Aye.
Ringer?
Votes no. Motion's adopted. Are there any volunteers for this?
Thank you.
Representative Phillips? Thank you.
Beautiful.
Okay, what's that leave us with?
You could get started on one and wait.
Which one would you like to start with? 324?
Sure.
Representative Dix?
Let me find it first. Representative Phillips got into my things and messed them up the last couple of days, and it's hard for me to get organized.
I got into your things. I'd mess them up for sure.
That's not it either. Oh, yeah, this. Mr. Chair and members, the House Bill, or Senate Bill 324, was the second part of the tort package that came over from the Senate. As you remember, we relieved Senate Bill 324 of those portions that came over from the Senate and put them into Senate Bill 323. In subcommittee, we had heard testimony from Senator Bradbury, who had worked on setting up a fund similar to the fund that now exists for attorneys for physicians. He also recommended that we look at reclassification, an issue that I was very interested in throughout subcommittee on tort reform. After reviewing and talking with folks, I didn't think there wasn't support for the reclassification issue. His bill called for, his amendments called for the insurance commissioner to have a classification system of three classes, forcing those insurance companies to write medical malpractice in the state to classify physicians into three classes. At the present time, I believe there are seven classes of physicians. I left that out and included the section that was introduced, the Physicians Professional Liability Fund, which was on the floor of the Senate and lost by a 17-13 vote with no dissenting debate on the bill. The second portion of the bill is a bill that was introduced by Representative Phillips.
You want to address that?
You're doing a great job.
It allows daycare facilities to form groups for insurance purposes. We also put that into 324 as well. It
is my hope that Senator Bradbury had asked us to include this in the tort package, and it is my hope that the committee will see fit to make sure that this issue gets to the floor and let it go up or down on the merits of the bill. I have had three or four calls from physicians in my community who seem to think that this automatically imposes a physician's professional liability fund. It does not. There are several criteria, and the insurance commissioner has to hold a set of hearings to determine that physicians are unable to get insurance any other way without this fund actually being implemented. It's been suggested that this fund, and I don't know where the physicians got the idea that by passage of this measure, the fund automatically goes into existence. It does not. It's been suggested that the fact that the commissioner has the ability to set this fund up will be helpful to physicians in rates, in setting their rates in the future. And of course, we all know the problems daycare facilities are having in getting insurance at this time.
Okay.
And I would ask that we have a call of the committee or whatever you have to have in order to get members here before we vote on this. I'd be glad to answer questions.
I'll track down Richard Hallen, but no one seems to know where he is.
Nobody knows where Hamlin is?
No,
he was excused from the floor when we took one of our last votes down there. Whether he's meeting in, he may be meeting.
Or the governor's office.
Is he in revenue?
Governor's office.
Yeah.
Mr. Chair.
Excuse me, Representative Burton.
Two questions. What are we working on at this point? I've got.
Oh, I'm sorry.
324 in here is I've got.
I believe it's 324-24 amendments.
Actually, it's the dash 32 amendments.
I'm sorry, dash 32 amendments.
Which you'll find in front of you in the stack of materials.
That's correct. Those are the updated.
Then further questions,
Mike. Representative Burton.
In 323, when we sent that out, we established in there the ability of the insurance commissioner to establish PLFs. What is this duplicating that, or why is this different?
I think I don't think it duplicates that effort, and I think I'm not sure of the differences, but my understanding is 323, the liability fund that's covered in 323, does not cover physicians. Nonetheless, and if I'm incorrect in that, I'd be happy to stand corrected. This sets up a procedure under which the insurance commissioner specifically addresses medical malpractice and physicians insurance, which is a little bit different than what we did in 323 on setting up a liability fund. The criteria for hearings and things like that.
Representative Dix, is it fair to say it's much more specific and tailored to the needs of the physicians and more similarly tracks that which Representative Bradbury had, or pardon me, Senator Bradbury had worked very hard on?
Yeah, the section, I think that the PLF section in the bill isn't that, it's not, I don't think would fill more than probably a page or a page and a half than what you see in front of you.
We're on 324-32, which relates to the medical fund and another provision. Can we call Representative Miller if he's available, if we're getting close to the point where we're ready to call the question?
I think he went to his office, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, I have a couple of questions.
Representative Miller, if you're listening, please join us.
Representative Burton, in conferring with Representative Phillips, I think perhaps medical might be covered in 323. This is a much more specific approach to that problem.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Bellamy.
Question for the carriers. Didn't we take out a fund similar to this in the big tort bill?
I would try to respond, and then I'll let Representative Dix. Yes, Representative Bellamy, 752 is Chapter 752 was deleted in 323, and I believe that came out on a 5-4 vote out of the committee. And I, you know, as one of those who voted for that, it was my sense that the language which had been adopted, I believe, about 10 years ago, which was 752, had not only had the folks for whom it was intended to benefit rejected that concept, but I think the language itself had become outmoded just with the passage of time and experience in terms of how other similar funds may have worked in other states or not worked in other states. But, and Representative Dix, if you want to add anything,
let, let's be clear on what went in, the work that went into 323. I would suggest that the that there was, when Senator Bradbury came and asked the committee to consider putting his bill, 955, I think was the bill,
977,
into the tort package, Representative Phillips and I were working on that package at the time, and it was decided, we decided, the two of us, that that would not be part of the 323 package, that for on its own, on the merits of the bill, one way or the other, we would try and move it out of committee. I would try and move it out of committee, excuse me, on the basis of the bill, up or down. But we, I did commit that to Senator Bradbury after he got the bad news that it wasn't going to be part of the 323.
Mr. Chair. I guess my question comes
Let me recognize Representative Bellamy for a follow-up, and then I'll recognize Representative Bauman and Hanlon. Representative Bellamy.
I guess what the next question would be is, if they never enacted that that fund, what is the likelihood of this one being enacted?
Well, I don't... Is it to me?
Yeah, or anybody.
I don't know exactly what how that fund was to be enacted, and I don't have that measure in front of me. I do know that the insurance commissioner is charged with that responsibility under certain conditions and criteria. Under this, it's not a question of the physicians enacting that legislation or taking or actually taking that responsibility on themselves. Once again, I don't know how the previous fund was set up. The insurance commissioner under this bill, if it becomes apparent that physicians for whatever reason are having a hard time getting insurance, he then has this option in front of him. I think the other one, do you have any knowledge regarding the other fund?
Council may have some information to share.
How was the implementation and?
You mean why wasn't the other one?
No, what was the process in which that kicked in?
I think it was set up so it was on the books, and the reason people didn't use it was they were afraid because there was a cap on liability in there that it would be unconstitutional, and the potential users decided not to use the fund itself.
Okay,
that's my memory.
Was the charge to the insurance commissioner to begin setting that up?
No, I believe it was set up and operational when it was passed.
Thank you.
Okay.
So
Representative Bauman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Dix, I'm looking through the draft of 324A-32, looking for a section that limits the number of classifications or groupings.
I did not include that because I did not. I felt that that would hamper efforts to pass the bill. And what I was explaining was that Senator Bradbury approached our subcommittee with two sets of amendments. One set was on the bill in front of you. The second set suggested a rating classification system, which I had shown a great deal of interest in throughout subcommittee. And would like to take a look at some future time, but I did not. I felt that this bill may not fare very well as it is, and at whatever chance it does have, I didn't feel that attaching those amendments would do it any service at this point. That we're biting off more than we can chew. The second part of the bill, frankly, the daycare center bill. I think the chair or counsel for the chair found that bill and felt that it was just as important, because daycare centers are having just as difficult a time getting insurance as well.
Okay, Representative Hanlon.
Just a comment, Mr. Chair. My tardiness was due to being excused from the floor and on an interstate conference call with Representative Hanneman and myself. My apologies for being late.
Not at all. Further discussion on the motion on 324?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Bellamy.
I need to know exactly what we're doing with the daycare facilities.
Well, Paul, you can probably address that better than
me. Representative Bellamy, this was originally a separate bill dealing with fictitious groupings, basically meaning that daycare providers could pool their liability and hopefully get a preferred premium for insurance coverage. And that's it in a nutshell. And it came as a result of a local daycare provider in my area, rates going up 400% with a two-week notice. and that was apparently fairly typical in that industry. So this was one way that they identified as a possibility to assist in dealing with that process. We have daycares are not the only ones exempted from that, quote, fictitious grouping category, and I can't enumerate all the variety of groups that are at this point, but this was just an extension of that process.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Bellamy.
I understand what the bill does. I'm trying to look at the language, and I guess it says is that nothing in Section 5 would relate to a daycare facility.
Until you get over on page 5 at lines 20 and 21.
Well, that's what lines 20 and 21 do, but I guess I don't find what is it that it does, what is it in Section 5 that it doesn't relate to?
I don't.
Can you restate the question?
I think I understand your question.
Well, this line says that to insurance for daycare facilities. And then you go over to the little sub A and you look under 3. Mr. Chair, this is the motion to the floor.
That's correct.
No.
No.
Burton?
Aye.
Dix?
Dix votes aye. Well, he gorges himself.
Representative Hammond?
Aye.
Miller?
No.
Phillips?
No.
Springer?
Votes aye. Any volunteers on this one?
I'll carry this one.
Representative Dix? Any?
Here.
Representative Phillips.
There's notice of possible minority report.
Okay, Representative Phillips, there's notice of possible minority report. You want to tell us what that one's about?
No.
Mr. Chair.
Public decisions publicly arrived at. Representative Bunn?
Mr. Chair, I'd like to give notice of a possible minority report.
You want to tell us what that's about, Representative Bunn?
No, Mr. Chairman, I'd be glad to share it publicly in wide open meetings at the appropriate time, but I have some additional drafting to do at this time.
Mr. Chair.
Those are all due by tomorrow at 5 p.m. Representative Miller.
Serve notice of possible minority report.
Okay.
It relates to liquor.
Not Coors.
We won that battle.
Representative Burton.
Now, Mr. Chairman, I would move reconsideration of the vote, or which we passed House Bill 3351.
Okay. Representative Burton moves reconsideration of the vote by which the committee passed out House Bill 3351. Representative Burton, to your motion.
Mr. Chairman, it's brought to my attention following a vote on that that this bill had some conflicts or possibly had been taken care of in another bill, which the number of which I can't recall right now, was 2443 or 2043. And perhaps at least portions of that bill wouldn't be necessary. And wanted us to re-examine that and consider some possible amendments that would get us to those issues that still need to be addressed.
Okay. Representative Burton has so moved reconsideration of 3351 for further discussion. If not, the clerk will call the roll.
Aye.
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 Burton?
Aye.
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 Phillips?
Aye.
Aye. Motion's adopted. Representative Burton?
Mr. Chairman, I wonder if we could ask Mr. Nelson to come up on...
He's willing to do so.
Explain where we may be tripping over ourselves here. You have to. And Mr. Powell, too, certainly.
Yeah.
No, I didn't know you were there. There's some amendments. Do we have some amendments here? Is that the dash 3? Do we have the dash 3 amendments?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee representing Burton, Mark Nelson, Public Affairs Council representing Allstate Insurance. I have not actually seen the amendments. We were they were requested. I could. To give you a little background, the House Business Consumer Affairs Committee and the Senate now has approved House Bill 2443, which represents a long series of negotiations with the Oregon Chiropractic Physicians Association and some individual trial lawyers, in which we tried to deal with the particular problem as to payment under the PIP policies. That particular legislation sets up a arbitration process for resolution of those disputes, and I do believe represents an agreement among all parties, with the exception of at least one trial attorney, Mr. Vick, I believe here from Salem. So it was our feeling that the problem as related to the payment of the PIP benefits and the timeliness and the resolution of those disputes was taken care of in House Bill 2443. What you have before you is amendments drafted by counsel which deal with a concern I believe that the chairman had, which had to do with, it's on your second page, section 3 of the amendments, ORS 743.835, and this has to do with the concept of stacking of benefits. Now, as I understand the particular problem, there are some insurers where there has been a premium paid for PIP benefits and a premium paid for uninsured motorist benefits, and that when a individual incurs cost and goes to have those applied, that the PIP benefits are effectively deducted from your uninsured motorist limits, if I've stated that correctly. And this is not a practice that either, at least to my knowledge, my insurer or State Farm engages in, and we were in agreement with some type of language which would address that problem as brought to us by the chairman. That's embodied in Section 3. The Section 2 amendments have to do with Senate Bill 699, which passed the Senate overwhelmingly, I believe unanimously, out of the Senate Judiciary Committee, and for some reason that we still cannot ascertain, was not an motion to move the bill out of the House Business and Consumer Affairs Committee was not accepted. John can speak to that particular issue, what we're trying to address there. To our knowledge, there is no opposition to the amendments that are represented in Section 2.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, John Powell representing State Farm Insurance. Section 2 of the bill, as Mr. Nelson just pointed out, was embodied in Senate Bill 699, carried by Senator Frey on the floor of the Senate. The major provision of this bill, or of this section, would require the insurer that has collected a premium for a coverage to actually pay the benefit. There was a court decision, the Kessler decision, which in the opinion of the court, in part of the writing, the central issue was not this particular area, but in writing the opinion, the court apparently left some question as to who would pay. And let me give you just one example. This reorganization of who would actually pay the benefit would have nothing to do with the total amount of funds due the plaintiff. But if an insured, if someone had purchased $100,000 worth of PIP benefits, uninsured motorist benefits. No, I'm sorry, I was right in the beginning. PIP benefits to protect their personal injury in case they were injured in an auto accident. They were hit or injured by a wrongdoer who had $25,000 in liability insurance. Under the Kessler decision, the insurer who had collected the premium for the $100,000 of PIP benefits may well have had to pay out that amount of money. But that decision allowed them then to subrogate against the wrongdoer's insurer beyond the $25,000 limit of their policy. So that insurer, not having collected a premium for that PIP benefit, was then found responsible not only for the liability limits of their policy that the insured had purchased, but beyond that, to reimburse the other insurer for what they had paid out in PIP benefits. What this language would do would say that since the insurer that had collected the premium for the high PIP benefits would not be able to collect from the other insurer beyond what that insurer's liability limits were, in this case, the $25,000. Same amount, the plaintiff would still have received the full benefit of the insurance available, but the insurer who had collected the premium for that benefit would be the payee.
Okay. Representative Burton?
I have a question here I need to ask counsel if we could. The amendments, it would appear to me, and Mr. Nelson, you might follow along with me, adds just a new section to the existing bill, but there's some deletion of some provisions. I want to make certain that, that the amendments are doing what we want to do. Would you explain that, Virginia, as you...
Okay. The committee adopted the Dash 2 amendments, which contained provisions that dealt with the payment of PIP benefits. It required that the PIP benefits be paid within 30 days, or they'd be considered overdue. It imposed an 18% interest on overdue PIP payments. The Dash 3 amendments delete all of the provisions that dealt, that deal with the PIP payment, because it was felt that this House bill, it was under 2443, in enacting this arbitration provision, took care of that problem.
Okay, so, if I could, Mr. Chair.
Representative Burton.
In effect, what we're doing here is the amendments which were adopted to 3351, if we were to adopt the Dash 3 amendments, we would have the original bill plus the Dash 3 amendments only without the Dash 2 amendments. Is that correct?
That's my understanding, yes.
Because the bill that's back in front of us, Mr. Chairman, is House Bill 3351 as amended by the Dash 2 amendments. And so I just want to know how to back out of the Dash 2 amendments.
Appreciate that clarification. And I think, if I understand correctly, that's the understanding of the committee. And that is that your intent also, Mr. Powell and Mr. Nelson?
Mr. Chairman, Mark Nelson, our intent would be to substitute Section 2 and 3 and 4 for the provisions of House Bill 3351 and the Dash 2 amendments. I do not believe the Dash 3 amendments amend back out Dash 2. It starts on line 5 of the amendments. It says after line 29, insert. It does not even address the bill as if the Dash 2 amendments are already in the bill, okay, and you still have those Dash 2 amendments that you voted into the bill.
Mr. Chairman, my motion would be to amend House Bill 3351 with the Dash 3 amendments, which are LC 3243.
Okay, and the intent of that is to delete the Dash 2 amendments and basically amend the printed bill anew with the Dash 3 amendments. Is that right. Your
That's
intent?
Correct.
Okay, are we all clear on that? Everyone understand what we're doing?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Hanlon.
Just a question. The provisions that were taken care of in House Bill 2443, Counselor, did you say?
Yes.
Were intended to replace the Dash 2?
No, not. It was, from what I understand, what Mr. Nelson has just explained, it was felt that the arbitration provisions for the payment of PIP benefits that was contained in House Bill 2443 adequately address the problem that the first, I believe, five sections of the Dash 2 amendments were also addressing.
Another question, Mr. Chair.
Representative Hanlon.
Did that also, well, what provisions were in the arbitration bill on payments that might be overdue in lieu of more than 30 days in lieu of collecting at the rate of 18% interest?
There isn't any provision as far as a penalty, as far as interest.
That was felt to be pretty objectionable, and 2443, I believe, was seen as a kind of a compromise to allow the individual who felt that they weren't getting fair treatment an opportunity or some recourse without going as far as the Dash 2 amendments proposed. Further discussion on Representative Burton's motion. Is there any objection to that motion? If not, it's adopted. Representative Burton?
Mr. Chairman, I move House Bill 3351 to the floor as amended with a due pass recommendation.
Okay, Representative Burton moves House Bill 3351 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there further discussion? If not, the clerk will call the roll, please.
Aye.
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 Yes.
Aye.
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 Aye. Motion's adopted. Any volunteers?
We already had a courier on this, didn't we?
Me?
Sure. We're not. What the heck?
Mr. Chair.
Anyone else? Representative Bellamy? Okay, Representative Dix will be the carrier. Representative Bellamy.
It is my intention to move to reconsider the vote on 915, in which this committee sent out the bill. And it will be my intention to add back in the language that I moved to take out so that the bill would be as the Dash 9 amendments would be as presented.
Okay, Representative.
So I just Bellamy want the committee to know what my purpose for reconsidering would be. So, Mr. Chairman, I would move to reconsider.
Okay, I'm not sure, Representative Bellamy.
Mr. Chair, I would ask for unanimous consent that we move to immediate reconsideration, just for clarification.
Is that what you want to do?
Okay, another motion might have been to suspend the rules to permit the committee, since we've already sent it out, to suspend the rules, which would take a two-thirds vote. But if it's a unanimous consent motion, let me try it that way. Is there any objection to Representative Bellamy's motion that we reconsider the vote by which this committee passed Senate Bill 915 as amended to the floor?
I object.
I object.
I object.
Well, that's few. Let's try it this way. Representative Bellamy moves to suspend the rules, which would take a two-thirds vote of the committee, in order to allow today immediate reconsideration of the vote by which 915 passed to the floor. Is there further discussion on that? Okay, if not, the clerk will call the roll on Representative Bellamy's motion to suspend the rules.
No.
Aye.
Aye.
Burton?
Aye.
Dix?
Aye.
Hanlon?
No.
Aye.
Phillips?
Aye.
Springer?
Aye.
Mr. Chair?
The rules have been suspended. Representative Bellamy.
I would. You don't need to move the motion to reconsider now.
I think we should, just to be safe.
I would move to reconsider.
The rules have been suspended. Representative Bellamy moves that the committee reconsider the vote by which it passed Senate Bill 915 to the floor. Further discussion? If not, the clerk will call the roll on the motion to reconsider.
Bellamy?
No.
Bellamy?
Aye.
Dunn?
Aye.
Aye.
Dick?
Aye.
Hanlon?
No.
Miller?
Aye.
Phillips?
Aye.
Springer?
Aye. Motion's adopted. Representative Bellamy.
Mr. Chair, I would move to reinstate the language that we took out when we sent the bill out of committee, which would be to reinstate the language on lines 14, 15, and 16 to the original printing of House Bill 915A-9.
Okay, Representative Bellamy, I think I understand your motion that you wish to restore the language which had been deleted from Section 3 of the Dash 9 amendments. Is that correct? Is this intent of your motion?
Yes.
Okay, Representative Bellamy has so moved. Is there further discussion?
May I ask the purpose of the motion?
Representative.
Yes, I can try to ask. There's different opinions on just exactly what happens when you take out that language. Without having the time to get the full legal opinions as to what exactly we did when we took out the language, there is some opinion that believes that I did just the opposite of my intent. It is my understanding that parties who are most interested in this would rather have the language as it was printed than the change. And I said, fine.
Okay.
Thank you, Representative Bellamy.
Further discussion on Representative Bellamy's motion to restore the language in Section 3 of the Dash 9 amendments. If not, the clerk will call the roll.
Bellman?
No.
Bellamy?
Aye.
Aye.
Burton?
Aye.
Dix?
Aye.
Hamlin?
No.
Miller?
Aye.
Phillips?
Aye.
Rager?
Aye. Motion's adopted. Is there a motion on the bill?
Mr. Chair, I would move Senate Bill 915 to the floor as amended.
Okay, Representative Bellamy moves Senate Bill 915 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Further discussion? Okay, if not, the clerk will call the roll.
Well, one.
Excuse me, Representative Dix.
Sure about this, Dan, on that tort claim stuff? No, I'm just kidding.
Clerk will call the roll.
Bellman?
Aye.
Bellamy?
Aye.
Bunn?
Aye.
Burton?
Aye.
Dix?
Aye.
Hamlin?
No.
Miller?
Aye.
Bill?
Aye.
Springer?
Votes aye. Who wanted to carry this? Who wants to be a hero?
I volunteered the last time I'll carry it, Mr. Chair.
Billy.
Representative Bellamy, thank you. You will have the honors. Any further business to come before the full committee? It's the chair's intent upon adjournment to close this committee subject to the direction of the speaker. I will advise you that there is one Senate Bill 636, with which I had a short and intense visit with Senator Frank Roberts, telling me that this has an $800,000 fiscal impact if we fail to adopt it. If the Speaker concurs, we may deal with that. The Speaker has also given permission for a subcommittee hearing on SJR 18.
Mr. Chair?
Which is?
I believe Senator Simmons is familiar with that. It has to do with an amendment to the Oregon Constitution.
I remember now.
Representative Dix.
I don't know if we have time and we're here past Friday. I would very much like to have the insurance commissioner and the attorney general in to discuss my letter, which I still haven't gotten an answer on, as far as what is going on with CNA and the other medical carriers in the state reporting. I haven't gotten a good answer from the insurance commissioner or the attorney general. Perhaps we could have a full committee hearing in less than an hour, find out from both of those gentlemen what is going on with regard to the investigation into that.
Representative Dix, if you could share your request with the Speaker, and if she were to so authorize that, again, we're not doing anything unless the Speaker specifically authorizes or directs that it be done. So,
I'm sure you signed your letter.
I'll save the speech for later.
Nice letter back from Bill Garrett.
We shall be adjourned.
Okay. So, but he got it.